The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirits and the joints of the marrow, as a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So do you show yourself approved unto God, or workman, does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pick up this evening in Genesis 1, here in verses 24 and 25. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you've employed rebound if necessary, that you're under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, under rulership of His person, so that we can once again this evening profit from the study at hand, as so designed by God for us as believers in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you for perfection in all that you produce. We thank you for the grace that you provided for us who have made it imperfect, and that we can still achieve your perfection through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the ministry of God the Holy Spirit experientially, and that once again this evening you enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in verses 24 through 31, enter the final day of God's creative work in D plus 6, and as He now will create the animal, mammal, reptile, insect life for the planet, and the coup de grace regards His creation, mankind Himself. Broke the verse down here into two parts, these verses. First beginning with mammals, reptiles, and insects, which are the subject of verses 24 through 25. We've looked at the Hebrew, rereading the verses here. Then God said, obviously divine fiat once again in view, let the earth bring forth, our verb there is causative, yatsah in the Hebrew, to bring forth, go forth, cause to bring forth, living creatures, literally breathing, living things after their kind, according to their kind, literally. And then he breaks it down into categories, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. Verse 25, and God made the beasts of the earth after their kind. We have the fulfillment, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after His kind. And then we once again have the approval, and God saw that it was good. All right, the analysis of verses 24 and 25. One, the determination of the fiat, then God said, let the earth bring forth, harks back to verse 12, where the fulfillment phase of the creation of plant life uses the same verb, yatsah. And the earth, yatsah, vegetation, brought forth, plants yielding seed after their kind, etc., etc. So our verb here looks back to verse 12, where it's used in the plant flora phase of God's creation. So too, obviously, plant life is necessary for the support and habitat environment of populating Pangaea, the single continent of the original restoration, with animal life. So they are clearly tied together in regards to the importance of having plant life, making it possible for now to God bring forth corporal life. So three, to bring forth out of the earth means that God's creation of the animal and reptile world finds their molecular structure from elements found in the ground. In both cases, plants obviously come out from the ground based on seeds. Here we have the language used in similarity in regards to the land life of lower creation. And that denotes that there bodies, their structure, the properties of them, come from the elements that the ground provides otherwise. And God, obviously, in His genius, is able to develop the molecular structure necessary for these bodily animals, insects, and everything else it covers to exist in this fashion. So, out of the ground, we see animals being made, manufactured by God in this respect. For this is further made clear as the fulfillment in God made in verse, should be 25, uses the verb asah, denoting that He created these creatures out of an existing substance. Out of an existing substance. Five, both animals and man were, quote, asawed, end quote, manufactured out of something. Job 40:15. That's in agreement with our verses. Behold now, behemoth, which I made as well as you. That's not the right one. Well, we read it once before. Okay, well, I'll double check that one. But I've already documented it with the correct verse earlier. So, grace me out. But either way, there is other verification that God created both men and animals out of earthly things. Creation of man, as we will see, be more specific as to sophisticated elements called dust in this regard. So, six, scientifically, this is shown to be true through the process of decomposing of both animal and human bodies after death. Plants, living plants, after they die, they go through decomposition. So do the bodies of animals and men alike. When one dies, when left, it returns back to dirt or dust in that respect. So that denotes that God created us green. We're not plastic waiting to be destroyed, you know, 1,000 years down the world, down the road. So seven, the designation here, living creatures, is the same Hebrew vocabulary used for marine life in verses 20 and 21. The nephesh K in the Hebrew, meaning a breathing living thing. A breathing living thing. Eight, the noun and adjective combination, and we saw it in regards to the marine life there. Eight, the noun and adjective combination occurs eight times in Genesis, describing the life principle in marine life, as we noted, 20 and 21, verses 20 and 21. Here, mammals, reptiles, and insects in verse 24. Animals and birds, that'll be in verse 30. Every beast of the earth to every bird of the sky. Everything that moves on the earth which has life. All the fauna, all the animal world in general, encapsulating all of it. 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And then land animals again in general, we'll see in chapter 9, verses 12, 15, and 16. God said, Genesis 9, 12, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature." It's generally how the New American Standard translates the combination. "That is with you." And that's the covenant, Noahic covenant, promise and view, verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh." And then verse 16, "When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." 9, the combination Nephesh K is used two times outside of Genesis. Once in Leviticus 11:10 of marine life there, and then in Ezekiel 47:9, there's reference to lower creation that's attracted to the water coming from the millennial temple. Leviticus 11:10. "For whatever is in the seas and in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, among all the teeming life of the water, among all the living creatures that are in the water, are termed. They are detestable things to you. Unclean fish are those fish without scales," like catfish, other things that we as pagan Gentiles enjoy, some of us. Ezekiel 47:9. Waters coming out of the millennial temple, and it will come about, verse 9, "that every living creature that swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes." So it appears that the river itself has direct impact in regards to fresh water status. The ocean and other salt water places on the world post-tribulation. So 10, now in our verse, obviously it means all life forms other than aquatic and avis, or bird life, and thus limited to the effects of gravity, earthbound for their existence. 11, this quote, "breath of life," end quote, further refers to their need of air to live. Again, God's creatures that he has created, that we've seen, all need oxygen in order to survive. So 12, land animals here are divided into three general categories. Cattle, as is commonly translated, behemoth, that emphasizes domesticated livestock. Creeping things, Ramesh in the Hebrew, looks at reptiles, insects, things of that domain, and beasts of the earth, Kaya Eretz, look at wild or non-domesticated animals, the land animals remaining, if you will. 13, this threefold designation could be viewed as domestic, small, and wild animals in general. But it's just a generalization to incorporate and encapsulate all that thrive on our planet in the lower creation of life. So 14, domesticated animals here are not restricted to the beef industry, and would include all animals that could be ranched, employed, or enjoyed as pets, etc. Animals that we use to work with, horses, mules, donkeys, other types of animals, goats, sheep, domesticated, Certain dogs obviously can be domesticated, cats, things of that nature. So 15, creeping things would refer to rodents, reptiles, and insects. 16, these are creatures that live very close to the ground, hence the description of creeping, crawling things. 17, the final one, beasts of the earth, are the genre of animals you might hunt for sport and or otherwise avoid a possible confrontation. Wild animals. Your lions, your tigers, your bears, oh my, you know, that type of deal. Even though man can dominate them because God gave him the authority to do so. But in general, obviously, they're not domesticated. And when in the wild, you look out for them. So 18, the phrase, after their kind here, according to their type or kind, is used five times in these two verses. Five times in these two verses. Obviously, it is placed an emphasis in regards to the genetic distinctions that God developed within the creation of these animals. 19, it refers to a particular genetic type or genomic sequence, which is the full complement of chromosomes inherited from an organism's parents. It is an absolute measure of base composition of a species or group. Obviously, we are becoming more informed in regards to the genetics of life, animals, men, and we understand the importance today of using genetics, genes, DNA, etc., in an identification process. Institutions investigating crime, etc., now obviously employ DNA in regards to seeking to identify potential victims or perpetrators of crimes. So 20, the genetic constitution of an organism is referred to as its genotype, as contrasted to his physical characteristics, known as his phenotype. Phenotype, obviously, man is how we look on the outside, our appearance. The genotype looks at all the DNA, chromosomes, and cells that make up what we are as individuals. So, if you're not to that place at school yet, you can be a step ahead of your students around you for the younger crowd in science. 21, although the creation of animals was an asah process in the Hebrew, rather than bara, creating ex nihilo, they were created out of something, it still constitutes a miraculous action on the part of God. It's still to develop and create a life from soil, from the earth. Now, men may be able to copy DNA and things of that nature to produce proto-copies or types in that regards, clones. Give them a box full of dirt and tell them, make me a rat, and see how good they are at it. See? And they go, poof, you're a rat. But you're a rat for even suggesting this. 22, here it involves suddenly and dramatically bringing the earth alive with all manner of life forms, from the smallest organisms to the largest land animal, such as dinosaurs. Obviously, there is the supposition, even among believers, that dinosaurs were part of the original creation. Now, I won't argue that maybe they were around, but we can state unequivocally, based on language you have in the scriptures, that they also were part of the restoration period. The book of Job describes certain animals that could be nothing else than a dinosaur, the large animal that is not scared of the roaring river and has a tail like a tree. Obviously, the brontosaurus, or the big fat huge ones with the small heads and long necks, is what's in view there. Where they can, the New American Standard, the English, it's a hippopotamus, it's an alligator. Yeah, right. Since when did a hippopotamus have a tail like a tree? That tail swings, it ain't like a tree, and look out. If you know anything about hippopotamuses. So dinosaurs were part of this genre and creation of animals. 23, Job 40, 15 and following presents the largest super beasts, like the brontosaurus. That's what I was thinking about. Or that known as apatosaurus, a serpid dinosaur. And in the Hebrew there, the word is behemoth, not behemah, the word that we have in our verse. Job 40, let's see if I got this one right. That's the ones I started to read earlier. So it must have been on my mind. Behold now, behemoth. In mine it says hippopotamus. Right. No way. Which I made, this is God speaking to Job. As well as you, he's grass like an ox. He's not carnivorous. Depends on plant life. Behold now his strength in his loins, and his power in the muscles of his belly. He bends his tail like a cedar. Like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Let his maker bring near his sword. And that is prophetic, that they are not destined to last. The maker is God. The sword looks at destruction, to be killed out. Surely the mountains bring in food, and all the beasts of the field play there. Under the lotus plants he lies down, in the covert of the reeds in the marsh. Those plants cover him with shade, the willows of the brooks around him. For river rages, he is not alarmed. He is confident, though the Jordan rushes to his mouth. Can anyone capture him when he is on watch? With barbs, can anyone pierce his nose? Try to domesticate this beast. Let's see. So, dinosaurs were part of the creation event, restoration event. In this regard, the aspect of when we'll get to it in Genesis of Nimrod, whom is the author of the leader for the Tower of Babel and many great cities. He is known as a great hunter. That was his reputation. And that stems from the fact that he is able to hunt animals that most people are running the other direction in to get away from and kill them. I mean, to be a great hunter back then in that world didn't mean someone to go out and shot a bear with an arrow. as spectacular as that might be for us. Now, you're dealing with men who truly hunted great animals, big animals, prehistoric, as we would say, animals, types of animals. There's also language in Job in regards to fire-breathing animals, the dragon. So, there is truth, there is myth, and the Bible will express the truth, and you can just dissect it from the myth accordingly. So, 24, the dinosaur class of animals was destined for distinction, as we brought out in verse 19b of Job. So that's why they've disappeared. It wasn't because men hunted them out. God's the one that brought the sword. So, through environment changes, things of this nature, naturally culled the animal world in this fashion. 25, as with the establishment of light in verse 4, dividing land from the sea in verse 10, plant life in verse 12, stellar lights in verse 18, and marine and bird life in verse 21, God pronounced this portion of the day's work good. So, 26, with lower life created, the remainder of day 6 will be dedicated to the introduction of human life. And that's in verses 26 through 31, which we will now address. Verse 26, looking at the Hebrew here. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Then God said, consecutive, with our verb to say, Kalam perfect, third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R, followed with the subject of the verb Elohim. Let us make man. Let us make is the cal imperfect, first person common plural. Notice the plural again. This is God speaking, which obviously coincides with the plural of God, Elohim. And it's our verb asah, A-S-A-H. Here, having the cohortative meaning to let us do something, though not informed. Let us make. Here, what they determined to make is man. This is a common masculine singular noun absolute. If our word for man in the Hebrew, Adam, where we get Adam, A-D-A-M. Adam, in our image. In our image. Is the preposition bait with the first common plural suffix in our with the u ending. And then our noun for image here, tselem. T-S-E-L-E-M. So the preposition bait. Then the noun, common masculine singular, construct with the first common plural suffix, image, in our image. Betzelem manu would be the entire word. It's used 16 times, the word for image. It's image or reflection. A good way to envision this word is looking in a mirror. You see your image. And then not only in our image, according to our likeness. According to our likeness, you have the preposition K-E. Follow with a noun, common feminine singular construct, with the first common plural suffix, demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H, demuth, in our likeness or similitude. It's used 30 times. So on the surface, it may look like the words are the same, but they are definitely different. And let them, and it continues on now, in regards to his let determination here, let them rule over the fish of the sea. They extend authority then to men. And let them rule is you have wow conjunction, but the verb cal imperative, third masculine plural, radah, R-A-D-A-H, to rule, used 25 times. Over the fish of the sea, you have the preposition bait. Follow with the noun, common feminine singular construct for fish, daga, D-A-G-A-H. Of the sea, noun, common masculine singular absolute, yam, Y-A-M. And over the birds of the sky, again, wow conjunction, with the preposition bait, then our noun for birds here, common masculine singular construct oaf, O-P-H, we saw earlier. Birds of the sky or the heavens, literally our typical noun for heavens, common plural absolute, shamayim, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. And over the cattle and over all the earth. Again, following the same construction, wow, with the preposition bait. Then here you have the definite article, ha, and our noun for cattle, behemoth, common feminine singular, B-E-H-E-M-A. And over all the earth, wow, bait. Then our noun for all is coal, K-O-L. Over all of the earth, definite article, noun for earth, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, wow, bait, coal, everything, again, over all, the creeping things that creep on the earth, definite article, then the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, Ramesh, creeping thing, R-E-M-E-S-H, plus the definite article with the verb cal participle, masculine singular, absolute, Ramesh, every creeping thing, the one creeping, Ramesh, R-A-M-A-S-H. We see the poeticness of the Hebrew language again. The earth, upon here is the preposition all, A-L, with the definite article on eretz, the earth. In verse 27, we see the fulfillment, and God created man in his own image. And he created, while consecutive, our verb to create here is now bara, B-A-R-A. So we have Asa in verse 26. Now we have bara in the fulfillment. In God created man in his own image. God created Elohim, obviously the subject here. Followed with the sign of the definite article, the man, the definite article, with our noun, common masculine singular, absolute, Adam, repeated, A-D-A-M, in his own image. In his own image is a preposition bait. followed with a noun, comma, masculine, singular, construct with the third singular masculine suffix, our verb for image, that we had the cognate noun up before, to sell them. T-S-E-L-E-M. In the image of God, he created him. Preposition bait, to sell him, repeated. Elohim, God, he created. Bara, again, ex nihilo. Him is the sign of the direct object with the third masculine singular suffix attached to it. That'd be F-O. E-T-H-O, F-O. Male and female, he created them. Male is a noun, common masculine singular absolute, Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. Follow with the wow conjunction. And then our noun for female, common singular absolute, is Nekabah, or Nekabah, N-E-Q-E-B-A-H. He created, bara, again, our verb of choice, caliperfect here, third masculine singular, then, third masculine plural suffix, attached to the sign of direct object. That one is Otham. O-T-H-A-N. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, wow consecutive, followed with our verb, cal and perfect, third masculine singular, our word for bless, to bless, baraka, as one may so call it, B-A-R-A-C-H-E. Others call it baraka, either way. Blessed, and God blessed them, sign the direct object again, with the suffix attached to it in the plural, third masculine plural. Now in the Hebrew, you may have two genders involved in what's being dealt with. 9,999 of it may be female, and there may be only one male. The Hebrew will always use the masculine tense in describing it. That's something about Hebrew language that you learn. If there is one male involved in anything, then the masculine is used. Hence the masculine suffix, even though we're dealing with both male and female. And God blessed them, and God said to them, our wow consecutive, and our typical verb to say, amar, A-M-A-R, to them, again the suffix, preposition here with the suffix, the preposition lamed, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Sounds like fun to me. Okay. Be fruitful is your verb cal imperative, masculine plural. The verb to bear fruit. Phara, P-H-A-R-A-H. I didn't transliterate it for you there. Bear fruit, be fruitful. And if some of these happen to get messed up in line, understand I'm going through here and I'm trying to switch everything from right to left for us in our notes. so that you can follow a little bit easier that way. I have the original Hebrew up top. Through the parsing, I take and cut and paste every word and change the wrap on it so that we can have it in the order that we have it otherwise and read it in English. So sometimes my eyes get a little buggy when I'm doing this stuff. Be fruitful, bear fruit, and multiply, while conjunction. Then our verb to multiply, again the imperative, cal imperative, masculine plural, rabah, R-A-B-A-H. Become many, multiply, and fill the earth, while conjunction. The cal imperative, masculine plural, male, to fill, M-A-L-E. The earth, sign of the direct object, with the definite article, and our noun for earth, eretz. And subdue it, while conjunction. And then our next imperative, cal imperative, masculine plural, with the third feminine singular suffix, reference to the earth, kabash, K-A-B-A-S-H. Subdue it, bring into subjection. It's used 15 times. This word indicates using force if necessary. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. While conjunction, again our verb here as an imperative, to rule, radah, R-A-D-A-H, not rabah, radah, over the fish of the sea, preposition, our noun for fish, daga, D-A-G-A-H, daga, the sea, definite article, our noun for sea, yom, common masculine singular absolute, yam, I mean, not yom, S-bay, yam is sea, Y-A-M. And over the birds of the sky, while conjunction, preposition bait, again, over, birds, our noun for birds, oaf, used, O-P-H, of the sky, ha, shamayim, with the definite article, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-N-M, Shamayim, sky, the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth, while conjunction, preposition bait, every is your noun, common masculine singular, construct kol, K-O-L, living thing, is the noun, common feminine singular, absolute of kaya, C-H-A-Y-A-H, living thing that moves on the earth. Every living thing, the one moving literally, definite article, with the cal participle, feminine singular absolute of ramash, creeping, moving, R-A-M-A-S-H, upon the earth. Our preposition all, A-L, followed with the definite article, and eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Do it this way. Verse 29. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed. Then God said, wow, Amar, Elohim, typical words, as he continues to give them his directive will. Behold. Behold is an interjectory particle, hinna, H-I-N-N-E-H. Behold, look, like adu in the Greek. I have given. I have given is the cal perfect first common singular of the verb nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, to give. Same word we saw in regards to translated, he placed this the orbs in the heavens. So I have given to you the preposition here is lamed, with the second masculine plural suffix. To you, every plant yielding seed. Our noun, every, kol again, K-O-L. Plant is a noun, common masculine singular absolute of Esheb, S-H-E-B. We saw back in verse 11 and 12. Sowing or yielding seed is our cal participle masculine singular absolute of Zara, Z-A-R-A. That is on the surface of all the earth. That or which, relative pronoun, asher or ashar, E-S-H-E-R, which is on or upon, preposition all, A-L. The face is our noun, common both, plural constructive, pana, pane, P-A. N-E-H, of all the earth, our noun coal, again, all of the earth, definite article, ha eretz, noun for earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. Wow, conjunction, sign of direct object, every coal, tree is definite article with our noun for tree. Here, common masculine singular absolute, ets, E-T-S, which has fruit yielding seed. Again, our relative pronoun, a share. Plus the preposition, bait, with the third masculine singular suffix, which by it literally, fruit of a tree in the Hebrew. Fruit of is a noun, common masculine singular construct, peri, P-E-R-I, of a tree, etz, hence a fruit-bearing tree, yielding seed, our participles are all repeated, yielding, sowing, with our noun for seed, common masculine singular, zera. Zara, zera, Z-E-R-A. It shall be food for you. Literally, for you, preposition with a second masculine singular plural suffix of lamed. For you, it will be for food, literally. You have the cal imperfect third masculine singular, hayah. H-A-Y-A-H. It will become, if you will, food for you. You have the preposition lamed repeated. It will become for food, is the Hebrew. Noun, common feminine singular absolute, akala, for food or for eating. A-K E-L-A-H. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. Wow, conjunction. And to is your preposition lamed, every, our noun kol. Beast of the earth is your noun for living thing, common feminine singular construct, K, C-H. A Y, the earth, ha eretz, and to every bird of the sky. Wow, conjunction again, preposition lamed, kol, and then our noun for bird, oaf, of the sky, ha shamayim, H A of the heavens, S H A M, A Y I M, and to everything that moves on the earth. Wow, Lamed, every coal moving thing. Again, Ramash here as a participle, R-A-M-A-S-H, upon the earth, preposition all, A-L, followed with definite article, noun for earth, ha-eretz, which has for everything that moves on the earth, which has life. Which thing, you have a relative pronoun, a share, which, followed with the preposition, third masculine singular suffix, which on it, bait. A breathing thing, a breathing living thing, literally. We have our nefesh k combination in this situation, which has translated simply, which has life in the New American Standard. N-E-P-H-E-S-H, followed with K, C-H-A-Y. I have given supply for sense, every green plant for food. You have the sign of the direct object to know that which is still given, hence they supplied it, to break up the sentence in English. Every is your noun coal. Then green plant is your noun common masculine singular absolute, yerek, Y-E-R-E-Q. Followed with the noun common masculine singular absolute, esheb, plant, or noun for plant, E-S-H-E-B. For food, preposition lamed, then our noun, again, for food or for eating, akala. And it was so. While consecutive, our verb come to pass, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, thus, particle ken, K-E-N. Verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And God saw, while Elohim ra'ah, our verb to see, all that he made. What he saw is followed with the sign of the direct object, and our noun kol, which he made, relative pronoun asher, which, and then our verb here to make is asah, A-S-A-H. And behold, it is very good. Wow, conjunction, our interjectory particle, henna, repeated, H-E-N-N-A-H. Behold, it was good. You have the predicate adjective, masculine singular of tob, followed with another qualifier, the adverb meod, exceedingly, or very good, M-E-O-D. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Our typical construction we have seen, wow, hayah, evening, ereb, morning, boker. The one thing different that we have in the final, the sixth day, you have your noun yom, and for the first time we see a definite article inserted here with the six. A day, the six. Ha, and our noun for six is, or adjective is, shishishi. S-H-I-S-H. S-H, S-H-I-S-H, S-H, I can't even transliterate my transliteration, S-H-I-S-H, S-H-I-Y, shish, she, shishishi, the sixth one in the end of the paragraph marker. Okay, good, we got through the donkey work. I know you always like to enjoy what your pastor gets to go through, but it is for a purpose that we do this, so we can pick this up Sunday morning fresh. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.